biggest small town in America.
This is WGN Chicago, radio home of millions throughout mid-America.
Radio, well, radio became the Pied Piper to a strange new world.
Love is what I got. I said, remember that. Love is what I got. I said, remember that. Love is what I got.
Up on our big shoulders and get inside our massive heart. This is the Saturday Night Special with Amy Guth.
Vacation used to be a word that conjured up anticipation of time away, a slower pace and faraway destinations. But now it often reminds us of a time, of time that we don't have, of travel we don't feel we can take. Or it fills us with dread just thinking about what we might miss or what we might have to come back to. No doubt that nothing about our busy modern world slows down just because the temperature is warmer or because the sun is brighter. The wonders of our hyper-connected world turn on us terribly when we do try to disconnect, with some offices even demanding vacationing employees be on call by phone or to be accessible by email, no matter their location. In a sense, the idea of taking vacation now only means working from someplace else. It's no wonder, then, that according to one survey, nearly 41% of Americans reported not taking a single vacation day at all in 2015. But the news gets even worse. Those of us in the Midwest take the fewest amount of vacation days out of anyone, the same survey reported. While far from the first to make the case for taking vacation, tonight we'll be talking about why vacation and disconnection both matter to us as individuals and for group bonding, particularly with families. And we'll talk about a culture that seems to pressure us to never disconnect at all with each new ping, ding, tweet, and post. Later in the program, we'll talk about the Great American Road Trip and recent visits to some of our national parks. And although we are indeed making a case for radical disconnection and deliberate vacation tonight, we'll also talk about some travel technology and apps to help make time on vacation a bit easier. Of course, we hope you'll share your stories about wonderful vacations with us, too. That's the idea for this evening's discussion. We have a great group of esteemed guests, as ever. We'll have a regular contributor to the program, Dr. John Duffy, joining us here in just a bit to share his expertise on the subject. And a little bit later, WGN Radio's own Dave Schwann will join us to talk about some of his recent and most favorite travels. I'm Amy Guth. Rachel Woodall will be the very kind voice on the other end of the line when you call us tonight at 312-981-7200 to share your comments throughout the show. But you can also find me on Twitter and Facebook and contribute to the conversation by social media. It's time for the Saturday Night Special on WGN. This evening's episode, Vacation.
You'll catch them surfing at inside outside USA. Ventura County line.
WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth. This is the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us this evening and sharing your Saturday with us. My friends, tonight the topic is all about vacation. And, you know, we think about vacation, it used to be a word that got us super, super excited and we thought about the beach or the big adventures ahead. But more and more, as we think about vacation, it kind of stresses us out a little bit. We start thinking about, oh gosh, if I take vacation, I'm going to miss this. Or when I come back, I'll have all this stuff to do. And we get really worked up about it. And so, as I was saying at the top of the program, nearly 41% of Americans reported not taking a single vacation day at all in 2015. And I got to tell you, my friends, we're kind of alone in that. If you like taking vacation, this may not be the country for you, really, because we have set up this very, this cultural idea that, you know, of this constant connection and working the hardest and the most and even celebrating busyness to the point of being frazzled. We really, really are in that moment. And it's something that I have thought a lot about and talked a lot about on this program. And so tonight we're devoting the whole show this evening all to talking about this one aspect of it, and that is vacation. And so here to kick things off with us is our good friend, regular contributor to this program, Dr. John Duffy. You know him, you love him. He's great in all things that he does. And so, I want to really start by talking about, we think about vacation and we all know, I'm supposed to take it.
Right.
But at the end of the year, I see this inevitably. All the people I know on Facebook and Twitter are talking about, or just my friends right to my face are saying like, oh gosh, I didn't take up my vacation this year, so I got to take all this time really quickly.
Right.
And then they don't.
Right.
And it's even more than that, though. It's more, there's more to it than just a sense of taking days that you've earned. There are really some psychological benefits to it that I think that's what we don't really talk about. We kind of all know we feel better when we come back from vacation, but I think there's so much more to it that I'm hoping you can shine a light on for us.
Absolutely. You know, it's we have, I think you're right, come up with this ridiculous pride in keeping busy. And so we ignore all the benefits that come to us in vacation. And there we could talk your entire show about what they are. But, you know, there's a couple things that jump out right away. In families, there's these connections that would never happen at home that happen out there in the world. And there's a resilience that you build that I don't think can be built at home. And for people,
As an individual resilience, or a family?
As a family and as an individual. I think it works for both. But mostly as a family. I see it in families a lot where if a family vacations regularly, and then comes across some degree of hardship, they are more resilient to that hardship because they have this kind of goodwill to kind of hearken back to, you know, this bit that they used to do. You know, oh, remember back in the Everglades when we did this, you know, and somehow that makes it maybe not great, but a little bit better. We're a little more resilient to that hardship, you know, whereas families that never do that, they never really get to know each other in that kind of loose way. You know what I mean? Like where dad's not wearing the tie or mom's not dressed for work or the kids aren't as loose as they would be in the middle of the school year. And there's a completely different dynamic out there. And if you get to know each other in that dynamic, a lot of the tension and the stressors of the family come way, way down.
I think that's especially important now, given the, you know, the volume of homework we hear about and the, you know, how overscheduled kids are. There's so many activities. I mean, when I was growing up, it was like you can pick one thing and that's your thing.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you get. And even that, you know, it was very clear to me that that was a privilege and a luxury that I got to do that one thing. And it wasn't something I was owed or anything like that. But, you know, kids, there's so much pressure to, you know, have your kids do so much stuff. And then there's hours and hours and hours of homework on top of that, that I think that is really important. And I think it builds such lovely, lovely memories that kind of keep that resilience that you're talking about going much longer after that. I mean, there's a particular photo that is so funny and silly that is, oh my gosh, I was probably 7 or 8 years old in the picture, and it's from a family vacation. And my dad had borrowed his, you know, friend's van, and we took this ridiculous vacation. And it's a silly picture, but to this day, we can see that picture and we can laugh about, you know, what an adventure that crazy drive was, and
right,
things to it that, you know, here decades and decades later, we still have a bond over that one trip.
You know, in contrast, you know, my family, we never took family vacations for whatever reason. This just wasn't something that appealed to my parents. Not knowing, we had some tragedy coming our way. And, you know, once it came along, we were not very resilient to it. We did not handle it very well. And I sometimes think, boy, if we had had that kind of vacation-based connection, we would have been able to weather those storms a little more effectively, maybe a lot more effectively. And I think that happens in a lot of families. A lot of families I work with, they're nose to the grindstone, type A families, and they miss the opportunities to connect in this kind of relaxed and genuine way for a prolonged period of time. Not just like, oh, we'll protect an hour and watch, you know, Modern Family reruns or something, but to really like connect with one another for a week or 2 weeks where time really unravels and those stressors and the emails fall away. And it's just you and the people that you love, you know, and I think that is so underrated, so critical and important to our mental well-being individually and collectively.
And I want to pause there and note that there's a piece that you wrote for Huffington Post that is so beautiful about being that, in fact, you wrote while you're on vacation with your family and you're sitting in the backseat describing the scene and the things you may not have noticed had it just been a regular day in the house. That is so beautiful. I recommend everybody go to Huffington Post and look for this, written by our good friend, Dr. John Duffy, because it is really great. And there's just lovely little moments in there that illustrate your point so wonderfully as you're describing it. But, you know, on the other side of that, I think the thing we go to quickly that I hear a lot from people is, yeah, I know I should, but it's not worth it to me because what I will come back to is an even bigger pile of work.
Yep. Yep. And I think that there's some truth to that. You know, I think we're really in kind of a bind, and we've created a bind for ourselves in the constant available, you know, iPad, email age, where, you know, we can be in the middle of nowhere and be available in the middle of the night to work, you know. Mm-hmm. And I get that idea that, you know, I feel this pressure. I got to check in. Things are moving along without me. Somehow, in a corporate way, in a business way, we've got to shift that culture and really sincerely encourage people to take their vacation times. Not just lip service, not like, hey, you've earned it. But, you know, like kind of that thought in the back of the mind, like, you know, but you probably shouldn't take it. You know, if you want to get to that next level, it needs to be encouraged.
You know what? I think that starts with the boss.
Yeah.
Because the boss can say that all day and can say, I mean, we talked about this when some of the big tech companies were going to unlimited vacation.
Right.
That's fine. You can give people an unlimited vacation all day. But if the boss is setting a tone that he or she never leaves, he or she is available at all hours, he or she sends email at all hours and expects you to respond to it, you're not sending a message of life balance, and you're not sending a message of hey, take your vacation. You're in fact saying, I expect you, if the boss is sending this message that if you want to have the job that I have, you have to be like me here in this culture.
It gets to such an absurd end. I have a buddy who's a lawyer, and he's works for a prominent firm in the city, and the CEO is in the office until about midnight every day. And so he is reluctant to leave, even mm-hmm. when he has nothing to do. He's like, well, I really can't get up and leave. The boss is still here. And so he's got children, he's got a wife, and there's no balance in his life. Mm-hmm. And it's all kind of fear-based.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's an anxious guy. He needs that break.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think everybody does.
Yeah.
Well, and so what about when you go on vacation? I think it's really hard for people to really disconnect. And I really applaud coworkers and bosses who say, hey, what are you doing emailing right now?
Yep.
Be done. What the hell are you doing?
Right.
I really admire that because I think we have to do that for each other.
Yep.
I think we need to give each other permission to feel okay about taking a break because of this culture that you're talking about, that there's a sense that somehow taking the vacation that you have earned makes you a slacker.
Yep. And Amy, you know, let this be a clarion call to bosses everywhere. You're absolutely right. It starts at the top, and there is that tacit guilt trip, right? Mm-hmm. That you know, if you don't show up or if you're not available, you know, you're really not doing your job and you're going to fall behind. Whereas people get rejuvenated on vacation. And I think it takes time to get to the place where you're really unwound. So, you know, like some people say, well, you know what, I'll take a 3-day weekend. I'll leave Friday at noon. That's not good enough. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't give you the opportunity to become ridiculous. You know, I think about vacations and I think it gives us the opportunity to kind of regress a little bit and be childlike and play in a way that we normally as adults don't do in our everyday lives. And if we don't have the opportunity to do that once in a while and decompress and de-stress and regress, mm-hmm. I think we become far less productive in the long run. And sometimes it becomes symptomatic where people become stressed to the point where they can't do their jobs anymore. So sometimes I think this, more often than not, I think this facilitates a job well done over time. I think it's real short-sighted for bosses to suggest, like, you know, you need to be available all the time.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
And more, you know, we're hearing about companies that expect you to be available on email when you are on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a friend who was literally on the other side of the world from her company and was still expected to, you know, got a call at her time there 3 a.m. and was expected and in fact kind of punished later for not being available for this conference call. That was really just a weekly status call. It really wouldn't have mattered if she was on it. It wouldn't have mattered if it was canceled for
the week. Right.
But it was really so unfathomable that this could stop because she wasn't there, that I think we have built business to be almost machine-like without taking the human part of it into account.
Agreed completely. Years ago, in a different lifetime, in a different story, I worked in public accounting, and I had a couple bosses that were very hardcore and very type A. And I had one boss who's, we had a client come to us and say, well, this is the deadline for this is 2 weeks from now. And he said, you know what? That's not tenable, and I've got some people going on vacation. And really, There really is no deadline for a lot of this
stuff.
It's
just an arbitrary thing.
It's absolutely arbitrary. Yeah. So I'm going to give my people a break, and we're going to move that deadline up. And the guy was pretty malleable about it. Like, he was like, okay, I guess that you're not giving me much choice. So sometimes I think we think these things are so set in stone and we get so anxious about them that we, again, are so short-sighted that we don't give our people the break they desperately need.
Truly.
Yeah.
We're talking with Dr. John Duffy, regular contributor, about all things about heart and mind and mental health and all of those wonderful things. And we're always happy to have him with us. We're going to take a little break and get you to news. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation all about vacation and why we must pay attention and take the days that we have earned. We'll be back in just a bit on 720 WGN.
On a trip I'd like to go someday. Take me to New York. I'd love to see LA. Pick you.
720 WGN. It's Amy Guth here on the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us, and thank you for spending part of your Saturday evening with us. I am most grateful. Tonight, we're talking all about vacation. And you know what? That is a word that we used to get really excited about, and we think of faraway, exciting places. But now, mostly people go, I know I need to take my vacation. Or they go, I don't bother because I'll be too stressed out. I'll be worrying too much while I'm there. Or, I'll just come back to more work. It's not even worth doing. And as we noted earlier in the program, in a recent survey, 41% of Americans did not take a single vacation day in 2015. And the worst offenders, it's us, you guys, right here in the Midwest. We are among the worst. We got to fix that. So to help us is our good friend, Dr. John Duffy, clinical psychologist and frequent contributor to this station. You know him. You love him. We're always happy that he's here. And we're talking all about this topic because it's really more than just we should. It's so much more than should. And I think even saying should is like a extra pressure on an already pretty loaded thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we touched on a little bit before the news. We were talking about this cult of busyness and this, this cultural moment that we're in where for as cool as technology is and as awesome as it is to be able to connect with someone on the other side of the world over a common passion or interest or career, the downside is it is almost impossible to disconnect. And, and in fact, when we do, we're punished in a way culturally. And sometimes quite literally in our jobs, sometimes,
absolutely,
you know, we're expected to be connected. And I think about that a lot. I worry about that a lot. Not only all this research that's emerging about what screens are doing to our eyes and our brains and are rewiring us completely and changing our sleep cycles and really, really screwing us up, but just culturally, this idea that, you know, so many times when you walk up to someone and say, how are you? I haven't seen you in so long. Oh, I'm so busy.
Yep.
What does that mean? That, you know, is that... Since when is that the best answer?
The code of honor, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm so busy. And we forget the utility and the balance and the richness of time off, downtime. You know, you're talking about downtime just during your day versus along with taking vacations. And we have somehow, because we are so readily available all the time, we've somehow come to devalue this idea of downtime as if it's not enriching. It's not just a should. It's not just I've got these vacation days. I better take them, you know, even though it's a burden and I'm going to have so much more work to do when I get back. It's critical. It's really way more important than that because I was talking about how it fosters connection and resilience. I also think it fosters like emotional well-being that pays off on the job in the long run. And sometimes it gives you like kind of the shift in context and perspective that you are not going to get sitting at that same desk, you know, for 52 weeks a year. You've got to get away from there in order to kind of see your life a little differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My grandfather always asked me around my birthday, he'll say, what did you do the most this year and what do you want to do next year? And he called me out one year. He said, you know, for the last 4 years, you've given me almost the same answer.
Hmm.
He said, I know that you love your job,
right?
But you keep saying, I mostly worked. I was mostly, and at the time I had a cubicle, you know, and he was like, you're spending your life in a cubicle, kiddo.
Oof.
And I feel like if, you know, an elderly man calls you out, you got to do it, you know?
Yeah, right.
So I mean, that's, and he's exactly right. And he's got such good perspective and he's got the gift of perspective because he's been on this earth for so very long, such a very long time. But I really took that to heart and really started thinking about this idea of the cult of busy. And I was reading somewhere, someone challenged people that instead of saying I'm too busy or, oh, I'm so busy, replace that with, it's not a priority, and see what happens in your life and just see that shift. And that was really interesting. And I didn't do that right away,
right?
But I've certainly been listening for that and listening mindfully in that way. And it is very interesting because, busy is a badge of honor now.
Right.
And I've started to kind of think of it as a bad word now that I'm listening mindfully and doing that. But it does. It's very concerning, though, right? That the idea of taking vacation is somehow making you a bum.
Yeah, I mean that in the end, that's probably the right word, right? You're not doing your job. You're not providing in the way you're supposed to provide, or you're not doing the work you're supposed to do it. And culturally, it is a grand disservice. And we, you know, again, need that time. I've got a friend who is he's a very successful producer, and he takes this vision quest every year. He insists on it, so it's just him alone. This past year, he took a bike ride around Lake Michigan.
Wow.
And it took about 10 days. And,
that's cool.
Yeah. And he came back rejuvenated, came back a new man in a lot of ways, and really had fresh perspective and fresh energy for his job. So I think a lot of our thinking about the word busy is so short-sighted, because if you think long game and you think, you know, like burnout and avoiding that, if you give yourself that break and you can provide yourself the opportunity to breathe, look at your life and your world a little differently than you do in your day to day, I think maybe you do better work. You're better connected to your coworkers and to your family, and you're happier. And there's pretty good research out there that suggests that happier people work better and have more longevity in their careers. And, you know, there's not many downsides to it other than that immediate kind of I'm missing out right now on whatever those emails are. And that seems so short-sighted to me.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think so many jobs now are becoming full-time emailers.
Absolutely.
You know, which is really a bummer, which is really not fun, which is not a thing I think many of us sign up to do.
Right. Well, and you were talking about this kind of adopting this mindfulness about the word busy. And I work with so many people who struggle with that, who recognize, like, I know that's not a great answer, but it's so difficult because on my phone right now, there are a bunch of emails that I feel inclined to get back to, you know? So somehow we have to take that urgency out of some of that work so that people can breathe. Because otherwise, we're just creating such an anxious culture that I don't know if we can kind of bounce back from that.
And I have to believe too, you know, that all that stress is just leading to not only a lack of emotional well-being, but a physical well-being too.
Absolutely.
Very stressful people always have a cold or always recouping for something too.
Absolutely.
And I read something recently about how the brain really fixates on unfinished business. And so if we have a bunch of unfinished stuff or a lot of stuff in our inbox, that it really can't totally drop off. It can't totally engage. Somewhere in the back of our mind, even that thing you started 3 years ago, it's there,
right?
That project.
Yeah, I'm still not done. I still have to get to it. And I've worked with some people who've been able to shift that and allow themselves to be in process instead of just focusing on that outcome. You know, it's only going to be done when it's done. To accept that, you know what, I'm working on it and I'm in the midst of it and it will eventually get there. And that's kind of a critical shift, I think, work-wise for a lot of people is to accept process over immediate outcome. Mm,
that's a good tip.
Yeah.
What else would you recommend, especially to someone who, I'm sure there are people listening that are like, I believe all this, I want to do all this, but my workplace, the culture is just not that way.
Right.
How do you operate in that environment?
You know, I think part of it is being rather insistent that, if I need to check email, I'll do it once or twice during the week. I think some of us I can remember vacations I had when I was an accountant years ago where I would check email every single day, probably multiple times a day. And that's not vacation. You really can't unwind if you've got that on your mind. You think, I've got to walk up from this beach to that house and check that email, right? So if you say, okay, I'll do it once or twice, to protect time and really protect time for really true downtime where you're clear with your boss and your clients that these are the times when I'm not available. And I always like the idea of having a fallback. If something urgent comes up, contact Amy and she'll take care of you, But I think the idea of protecting time is an underrated thing on vacations and in life too, to protect time for yourself, just like you would an urgent business meeting. You know, it's something I preach to my clients all the time is oftentimes we don't do a very good job of protecting time for the work that needs to be done and for the play that needs to be done, and that's just as urgent and just as important as the work. And it's a tough shift, but it's a critical shift.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I have to think that even though it's probably a very minor signal being sent that if you're on vacation and you're checking email a lot and really, I mean, the signal you're sending to your spouse and to your children really is, this is a bigger deal than
you. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. And that's something maybe that's the most important thing to keep in mind is like, you know, what message am I giving and how, what am I modeling for this next generation that is going to have to be more available because who knows what's coming up next in terms of, you know, like technology. What am I modeling if I am forever staring at a screen, even when we are out there in the world, you know what I mean? That I'm not really present. I'm not really available to this moment with my kids, with my family. It sets a really, really negative tone for them. Whereas if you really, truly, for hours a day at the very least, put things away and you're present with them, man, that pays such dividends. It is immeasurable. In families, it's crucial. It's where the emotional bank account gains its balance, you know? And without that, if a child sees mom or dad kind of, you know, backlit by their phone or their iPad, that balance in the emotional bank account drops precipitously, and it's really hard to gain back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recently got an email from somebody, and we were kind of emailing back and forth about a future event we were trying to coordinate about. And then she said, okay, sounds good. I'll do this, this, and this. You'll do this, this, and this. I'm checking email again on Wednesday.
Wow.
And you know what? There was absolutely no problem with that whatsoever. But had she not said that,
right,
it would have been like, well, she hasn't written back. I wonder what's going on. Where, you know, it's so interesting. But by saying that, it was absolutely not a big deal.
What a lesson, right? So if you set a clear boundary, people don't even question it, right? It's like,
right.
Oh, and I can tell you kind of respect it. Like, wow, good for you.
Good for you.
Yeah,
for doing that thing.
Absolutely.
Have fun on your trip. Bye.
There you go.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We're talking with Dr. John Duffy. We're talking all about vacation tonight. Not just the places we're dreaming of going, but in fact, how we really do this, how we navigate our workplace and the things we tell ourselves and our families and how we act and how we pull it all off. Really big things in our very, very hyper-connected world in a place that really values the chronic busyness. So we're talking all about that tonight here on the Saturday Night Special on 720 WGN. So tempting to just let that song keep playing. It's such a good one. 720 WGN. It's the Saturday Night Special. I'm Amy Guth. Thank you for being with us this fine evening. We are talking all about vacation tonight, all about this word that used to inspire such joy and relaxation, but now mostly stresses us out. And this cult of busyness that kind of keeps us from taking the vacation that we so richly not only deserve, but we need. And so we had to bring a professional in here. We got our good friend, Dr. John Duffy, to join us tonight to talk about all the very important factors around taking vacation, of how our brains really need it, our relationships really need it, and how we need to act when we're on vacation to show our family that they're in fact the priority, that you know, that work doesn't rule us despite what every other sign could possibly say. And I mentioned earlier in the show and got a couple of tweets about it. I will tweet out a link to this, but there is a really beautiful piece that our guest tonight, Dr. John Duffy, wrote that's on Huffington Post that is all about vacation. And in fact, it's written while on vacation and observing things that he feels he wouldn't have otherwise noticed about his family while sitting there on vacation. And so, you know, as we're talking about busyness and how to shift the tide and change the narrative a bit, and we've given out this challenge to bosses everywhere, you know, you mentioned something earlier I want to go back to, and that is the idea of how it takes a minute to unwind.
Yes.
And it's not enough to, and I think a lot of people do this, say, oh, I've got to run out some vacation days. I'm just going to take half days on Fridays and Thursdays or Fridays and Mondays or whatever.
Right.
And that really doesn't do the job. And,
no.
And it calls to mind, there's a quote from the very infamous and kind of notorious American Medical Association journal editor from the 40s and 50 or 30s and 40s, I guess. He said something like, a vacation is complete when you are eagerly looking forward to returning to work. It was something along those lines. So what is that time limit? What is your brain really doing when you're completely disconnecting and completely unwinding?
Something I read earlier today and I've heard before is it takes about 4 or 5 days now, Where and back, you know, a generation ago, it took about one or two to really get into the mindset of a vacation, to really like kind of like get to the point where you're relaxed and all of the email need and the work need is out of your brain and you are comfortable and you're relaxed. And so one important thing to remember is that those two or three days, they might be a little rejuvenating here and there, but once or twice a year, it needs to be something prolonged. And there are, you're so right, Amy. It is not just a suggestion. There are cognitive and behavioral and emotional benefits to vacations that we don't talk about a whole lot. The cognitive, I don't think, we talked about the physical, but the cognitive is critical. People think better and more clearly and more sharply with more acuity when they come back from vacations than they did before. So even from a workplace point of view, I think Malcolm Gladwell would say, oh yeah, you should have your people taking 4 weeks of vacation a year and you should space them out and, you know, and you're going to get far more productivity out of it. I'm sure there's economics to it.
Well, it's like the shower principle, right? If you're stuck on an idea, go take a shower, go do something completely unrelated and your brain will kind of soften or relax or whatever it is that the brain does that you know that I have no idea. But but in fact, the brain will do that thing to give you the answer or give you the idea or give you that creative solution that you wouldn't have come up with if you just were sitting there staring at the whiteboard.
Yeah. So you instead of being stuck in that mindset of staring at the whiteboard, you allow yourself this kind of shift in context. And that shift is a big deal, especially if you're relaxed in making that shift. So what I hear a lot of people come back from vacation saying is, they have these epiphanies about their lives, these aha moments, you know, of, you know, like, boy, I think I might want to do some things differently. I might want to shift my career a little bit, or I'm not doing my work the way I want to, or I'm not connecting with my family the way I want to, you know, and you get a taste of that and you realize, oh, I'm out of balance here. So I'm going to work to find that balance, you know. So again, for that reason, it's really important as well, you know, and most people would come back saying, yeah, I want some a little less busyness, maybe with a little more efficiency and more balance, more connection with the people I care about in my life.
I think it's the hardest for people who, and I'm going to put myself in this category too, people who really like the work they're doing, it's very difficult to step away from it because it feels like play.
Yep.
And I think that group in particular, I've been guilty of that many times in my life. Like, no, I don't need a vacation. I'm fine. It's fine. This is fun. This isn't a big deal. But then if you have to take one, or you do, or you know, for whatever reason, you kind of feel, you do feel different. You feel very rejuvenated, even when it's fun.
It's a really good point, because I suppose when it's fun, it's a little more dangerous because you're less inclined to actually do it.
Right.
Whereas if it's drudgery, you're thinking, well, I'm going to take it just to give myself a little break here.
Right. But, you know, I'm thinking of that episode of The Office that, you know, Pam is sitting there talking about, you know, here at Dunder Mifflin, we get 3 weeks of vacation a year. I normally wait as long as I can to space out throughout the year, but in fact I end up putting in vacation by January 3rd,
you know. Right,
it's drudgery. She's just like, I'm so done.
Right So maybe we worry less about the people whose jobs are awful, and for people whose jobs are great and really love them,
yeah,
and it feels like a vacation, it might be even more important to protect that time.
I think it'll be interesting to see what, if anything, hopefully something begins to shift as we move more to this gig economy, where fewer people have just one job and people have three or four jobs. Or maybe, you know, you're doing all the same thing, but in different places. I mean, I'm that category too.
Right.
I commit acts of journalism in many different places and in many different ways. And so I, on some hand, I think that might backfire a little bit, because you might borrow vacation from one place to go to another.
Right.
But I also think hopefully it would put people in a little more control of their lives, where they can kind of steer a little more. And it's not necessarily the coworkers that you're around 10 hours a day.
Right.
You're kind of an independent contractor and you can kind of steer your own life.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I mean, right, we probably need to think about the flexibility that all this technology affords us in a different way, right? Not that it just makes us more available to work, but it allows us to get out of our context and maybe just touch base on occasion. And like your friend did, to set a limit. Like, you know, I'll talk to you on Wednesday because for
I got
the beginning
stuff to
of
do.
The week, yeah, I got stuff to do.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting to think about. And you know, technology is always such a battle, because on one hand, it's so fascinating and it's given us like what a phenomenal time we are alive in, right?
Absolutely.
Where we can do all these amazing things with technology. And yet we carry these tiny screens in our pockets that are that we are just slaves to them. You know,
yes.
I read something recently about how many times the average person looks at their phone during the day, and it was astounding. It was, I mean, I would guess that would be, oh, I probably look at my phone 20 times. No, it was closer to 200 is average.
Yeah.
Shocking.
We have no idea.
Oh.
Briefly, I worked with a boy who went to an Outward Bound program for a few weeks. And when he got his phone back, it overwhelmed him. He gave it right back to his dad. He said, I can't take it. It's just too much, you know. And so he, you know, didn't want the noise in the airport. Bothered him, you know, like, so sometimes it's just like getting away from everything and getting back to, he's like, I want to be out with the coyotes. Literally what he said. I want to just hear coyotes. I don't want to hear ringtones, you know.
That's so great that he had that awareness,
right?
You know, at such a young age. Well, we've got to go to break and get to news here in a second, but quickly, could you tell us, how do you preserve that good feeling when you come back from vacation?
Yeah. I think it's important to recount and to record what happens and remember the good feelings and to talk to your family or the people you're with and to keep journals about, you know, like how this went so that you can reflect back on it. And I usually encourage people to snag a moment or two where they felt particularly peaceful. And this may sound a little cheesy, but allow themselves to kind of revisit those moments. And, you know, if it means you're sitting by the ocean and you just listen to the waves, go back there in your mind and just allow yourself to revisit that. And even if it's the middle of the busiest workday, give yourself 15 seconds and you'll feel refreshed and rejuvenated. And I find it works.
I like that.
Yeah.
I can think of some good vacations I would like to revisit. Excellent. We've been talking with our good friend, Dr. John Duffy, regular contributor to this program and this station. You can hear him all over the place on this station. So thank you so much for being with us tonight and for sharing your expertise with us. We are talking all about vacations, and we're going to continue this conversation with WGN's own Dave Schwann after the news and after this break on 720 WGN.
Can carpet